My mom had a set of Indian candles that she would put every Thanksgiving. There's these little decorative cartoon-looking things, and at the bottom of the candle is this little Indian boy, and the shaft of the candle was a feather in his headdress. So the big, long, white feather was the shaft of the candle, and they were rather ridiculous looking, and it was sort of ironic tradition that she would always put out those candles. She never did burn them or anything, but she would always put them out for Thanksgiving. And so every Thanksgiving she'd put them out, and it was a necessity. I remember she'd say that a couple times, that it wouldn't be Thanksgiving if I didn't have these candles out. And so that was a necessity for Thanksgiving. Couldn't be Thanksgiving without those candles, so we would jokingly remark. So I suppose if you celebrate a Thanksgiving, you've got some kind of tradition that you might think, well, it just wouldn't be the holiday without whatever that tradition might be. You might say, just wouldn't be Thanksgiving without turkey or biscuits or pie or whatever the case may be. That it's a necessity for you to have that, the holiday. Just wouldn't be that the holiday without it. Well, this morning I want to preach on Thanksgiving necessities, not for the dinner or the holiday, but for what it means to be thankful. So we're supposed to be thankful all the time. And as we have a day set apart for Thanksgiving, there are some necessities if you're going to be thankful. Because if you don't have these things, then you're not thankful. If you don't have the things that I'm going to draw out, then you're not thankful. And there's also some things that if you do have, you can't be thankful. There are some things in a person's life, if you have these attributes, then you can't have Thanksgiving, because they're contrary, they're antagonistic to them. So that'll be the message this morning. It's looking at those two things, some Thanksgiving necessities, and then we'll think about, contrary to that, some things that if you have them, you're just not going to have a Thanksgiving. I remember as a child being told that it was polite to tell people thank you whenever they give you something. And you know, I remember when someone tells you, when gives you something, or when someone pays you a compliment, you have to tell them thank you. That's the polite thing to do. So, you know, if somebody gives you a present, make sure you tell them thank you, because that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to tell people thank you. Well, I guess it is polite, but that's sort of an odd way of looking at it, really, because it's worse than being impolite. It's ungrateful is what it is. It's not, you're not being impolite, really. You're being ungrateful towards someone giving you something that you really don't deserve. So the problem that parents face with children, one problem they face is instructing them in Thanksgiving. Because the problem that the kid has is his depravity. If children were born good, you wouldn't have to teach them to say thank you. That would just bubble up from within them. The whole spiel parents have to give. Now, if they give you something, you tell them thank you. If they give you some food, or if they give you a birthday present, you make sure you tell them thank you. You wouldn't have to do that, because it would just be instinctive. But in fact, it's the opposite is instinctive to the child, that we are not naturally born to give thanks. What is that? What is it to be thankful? It's not politeness. It's not manners. But it's an expression of gratitude. So whenever you give thanks, you're acknowledging a kindness or a mercy or a grace that you received that you just didn't have to have it. If you run out of gas and you've got 20 miles to walk to the next gas station, a lot of people might pass you by. They don't have to stop. But if somebody stops and gives you a ride to the gas station, you're going to thank them, because that's a kindness you received. They didn't have to do it. It wasn't an obligation for them to help you. But they showed mercy. They showed kindness to you. And so you've experienced somebody doing you a good turn or showing you a favor. And so whenever you're contemplating having to walk 20 miles to the gas station, you're thinking how long it's going to take you to get there, how long it might take you to get back. You know, that's a hard way to go. But then somebody picks you up and you think of what you've been relieved from and what you've been delivered from. And then you smile because you experience that emotion of gratitude that you have received something. You've received a kindness or a mercy that you didn't think you were going to get, or you weren't expecting, or you got something you didn't deserve. So thanksgiving is when you are grateful, and that English word grateful comes from the Latin word, which means grace. That you're grateful that you've experienced grace. That somebody has done something for you that you didn't deserve to have, or you had no right to have. And then you feel kindly towards them for doing that. And then you express that by saying thank you. So that's why it's bad not to say thank you when someone does something for you, because it's not just impolite that you're not acknowledging it. It's because you don't acknowledge it. You don't acknowledge what situation that you were in. You don't acknowledge what they have done for you. You don't acknowledge that you received the kindness and the mercy that wasn't owed to you. So it might be polite to tell someone thank you, but it's a sinful attitude not to be grateful and express that thanks. So what we need to do is cultivate that idea of saying thank you because we mean it, not because it's the polite thing to do. So if we're going to have thanksgiving, if we're going to be thankful, there's some things that you have to have in order to do that. First of all, you have to have a reason to be thankful. You can't be thankful in general. You might be able to walk around with a smile on your face and say, well, you look awful happy. So, well, I feel happy. Well, why? Well, I don't know. I just do. Well, that's just a general feeling, but you can't have a general thankfulness without having a reason for it. What's wrong with you? Well, I'm thankful for what? Nothing in particular, just thankful. Well, no, you have to be thankful for something. Because of what it is. Because you're expressing a gratitude for something that you receive. So you have to have a reason to be thankful. So if you don't have any reasons to be thankful, you can't have thanksgiving. The whole point of giving thanks is expressing gratitude for something. So there has to be a reason. So you might say, I want to be thankful on Thanksgiving. I really want to focus myself on Thanksgiving. But if you don't have a reason for it, then you can't do that. So that's the first necessity. You have to have a reason. There has to be something that you're thankful for. The second thing that you have to have for Thanksgiving is a recognition. You have to see what's going on around you. You have to be paying attention. Because a lot of people say, well, I don't have much to be thankful for this year. The economy's down, the prices are high, it's been a hard year, I don't have much to be thankful for. Well, there's a person that doesn't see what's going on around them. Because every person has a reason to be thankful. You have a reason to be thankful just because of the country that you live in. You have a reason to be thankful because you can breathe this morning. Everybody in here walked in here. We're all sitting in here. We all can see and hear and talk. And there, we have much to be thankful for just for the fact that we're sitting here in here this morning. But you have to recognize that. So if you don't look around and consider what you have, then you won't have Thanksgiving. If all you can think about is what you don't have, or all you think about is what you wish that you had, then you won't be thankful. You have to recognize, first of all, the blessings of God's grace. You have to recognize what you deserve versus what you have. The ungrateful person focuses on what they don't have and wants to have more. But if you're grateful, if you are in the spirit, if you have a spirit of thanksgiving, you recognize what you deserve, which is nothing. God doesn't owe you anything. And so everything that you have is by the grace of God. That's why children don't naturally express gratitude. Because they don't recognize that the world doesn't belong to them. they don't feel the need to express gratitude because you ought to be giving them things. Like in the mind of a child, well, why should I say thank you? I exist, you should be giving me gifts, is the way of the natural mind. Why should I say thank you? I'm the center of the universe. You ought to be doing those things for me. I'm the king of the world. You ought to be giving me gifts and praising me and thanking me and doing all these things for me. But if anything, we ought to recognize what we deserve and what we don't deserve. So if we have a feeling of superiority, if we don't have a feeling of humbleness, if we are prideful in our life, then we won't be thankful for anything. Because we're owed these things. Why should I be thankful for a car to drive? I ought to have a car to drive. Why should I be thankful for health insurance or whatever? That's a fundamental right. Everybody ought to have that. That's a right that I must have. And somebody has to provide that for me. I'm not going to be thankful for it. Why should I be thankful for food? That's a right. Somebody has to give me food. Or that's just what you have to do. So if you're proud and you expect things and you're not humble, then you won't be thankful. So you have to have a recognition of who you are and what you deserve. Third thing you have to have for Thanksgiving is an acknowledgement of these facts. Once you recognize the blessings that you have and recognize what you deserve to have, then you can be thankful and acknowledge that you've been given a lot of gifts. That health is a gift from God. The house that we live in, the house that you live in, is a gift from God. Paul said, if we have food and raiment, we should be content with that. That does not include, all the things that we think that we have to have, or the things that we want. Clothes to wear and food to eat are our necessities. Everything over top of that is God's just being good to us. So to be thankful, you have to acknowledge those things. To be thankful, you have to say, God gave me more than I deserved. And then express that. The fourth thing is, and I've already alluded to it, you have to have an object. So you can't just be thankful in general. And even if you express what you're thankful for, say, well, okay, I'm thankful for my health, I'm thankful for my job, and for my house, and for my family, I'm thankful for all those things. Now you have to have an object. If Thanksgiving is an expression of gratitude to someone who's shown you kindness or a mercy, it stands to reason that you have to express your thanks to the person who showed you kindness and reason or mercy. You have to give expression to someone else who showed you those things. If you're grateful, you have to say thank you to the person who did you good. But are you thankful to the people? So, for example, if someone picks you up, you run out of gas, someone picks you up, and you say thank you, you're thankful to those people. I'm thankful when I go home this afternoon. I'm thankful to Crystal that she's got soup ready for us to eat this afternoon. I'm thankful for her work. But who do I thank for her? Right? Who do I thank for my family? Well, the object of the thanking her for fixing the food is Crystal, but who do I thank for her as my wife? I thank the Lord for that. He is the object of my thanks. He's to whom my thanksgiving is directed. You can't really be thankful until your thanksgiving is directed towards God, who is the first cause of all of our gifts. You can be thankful that you have a family, but who are you thankful for? Who do you direct that object of thanksgiving to him. See, that's the inconsistency of the Thanksgiving holiday in a secular country such as ours, is there's no one to say thanks to. It's just a general feeling of gratitude to some general unknown cause. How can we be thankful that we were born in this country if there is no God in heaven, if there is no ruler of heaven that has ordained in his providence that we'd be born in this country? How can you be thankful for your family if there's no one to give thanks to for your family? That you were born into a particular family, or that your wife was, or your husband was born, and thank who you thank for them, right? It has to have an object. And God is the first cause of all the gifts that we have. All good gifts come from God, for it is the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, the Bible says. All things that we have that we enjoy come from the living God who gave them. God is the first cause. He is the object to whom our thanksgiving must be directed. So if you just have a general feeling of thanksgiving, you're not doing it right. If you're thankful for particular things but have no object to express that gratitude, you're not doing it right. The only way that you can truly have a thankful heart is to recognize, see what you have, what you've been given, acknowledge what you've been given, and then direct that expression of gratitude to the one who gave it to you. I am thankful for the things that God has given me. Let's look in Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 8. And I'll show you an example of how this all plays out. Because God has to be the first cause, because all good gifts come from the Lord. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Paul was thankful for the Christians in Rome. He was thankful that they were bold witnesses. He was thankful that they told other people about Jesus. He was thankful that the church was growing and that there was a vibrant church there who loved the Lord and witnessed, and that they were just a good church that glorified God. He was thankful for them and what they were doing. But notice what he did. He said, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you and for what you're doing and the faith that you have and that's spoken of through the world. Paul was thankful for the Romans. He was thankful for of their well-known faith, but he thanked God who gave them the faith, who saved their souls through Jesus Christ, to whom all blessings flow, that we don't have any hope of grace except through the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's through Jesus that he thanked God for the church and what they had done. God is the first cause in all this. It was the love of God that we have life through Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins. It is the love of God through Jesus Christ that there is a church in Rome. It is the love of God through Jesus Christ that these people are blessed and active and a vibrant church. So Paul gives praise to God as the first cause and has a reason for thanksgiving. He recognizes this is an undeserved gift. He acknowledges that God gave these Gentile people something they did not deserve, and then directs his thanksgiving for these people to God as the cause of all good gifts. Another example of this is in Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're to be thankful for everything. So I said that you have to have a reason for thanksgiving. You're to be thankful for everything. There's your reason. So if you don't have a reason, then that's the first problem, because you're not seeing what God has given you, and you're not recognizing what you deserve. So we're to be thankful for everything, all the time. Not just once a year, not just one season of the year. We're to give thanks all the time for everything. We're to thank God all the time for everything. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're to thank God all the time for everything. Because everything we have is a gift from of God. And so we should be grateful to God for giving us all things. And to truly be grateful to the Father, you have to know the Lord Jesus Christ. How can you be grateful to the Father if you reject His Son, to whom He gave for the salvation of sinners? So to truly be grateful and to express that properly, it has to be through the understanding of the gospel and the belief of the truth. In everything, give thanks. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know what God's will for your life is this morning? To be thankful for everything. Not just to be thankful to it, but to express it, right? In everything, give thanks. In everything, express gratitude. In everything, praise the Lord for what He's done for you. That will be a great witness in this world if you have this spirit. That is God's will for you. We live in a very ungrateful society. That everybody's mad about everything and about the things that they don't have. For you to give thanks for everything unto God and express that thanks is going to be a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. To pray before you eat. If you go into a restaurant and you take your hat off and you bow your head and you pray there in public, you're expressing gratitude for what God has given you. And you're witnessing among lost people that you realize that everything that you have is a gift from God, and you're expressing that thanks unto God publicly, because that is God's will for your life. To express thankfulness for all the things that He's given you. God wants you to live looking for reasons to give thanksgiving. To wake up and to see God's grace in your life and to acknowledge what God has done for you and to direct your praise unto the Father through the Son and offer unto God thanksgiving. This is God's will for you. Are you thankful? Well, that's God's will. I'm thankful to God for my family. I'm thankful to God for Crystal. I'm thankful to God for my job. I'm thankful to God for this church. I am thankful for all the things that God has given me. Because He is the one that's given them to me. I don't deserve any of the things that I have. But God has given me all the things that I have. Taking someone who doesn't deserve to have anything and been given so much, well, we have a lot. We have reason to express thanks all day, every day, to be thankful for what we have. Thanksgiving. The fifth thing here is you have to have prayer. If you're going to be truly thankful, you have to have prayer. It goes along. Colossians 4:2 says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." Because God is the giver of gifts, thanksgiving is accompanied by prayer. So you can't really direct your thanksgiving to God if you don't pray. So prayer is the expression to God, the expression of gratitude to God. So you have to have prayer if you're going to have thanksgiving. So if you don't have any of these things, you don't have thanksgiving. But sometimes it's helpful to see the wrong way clearly so we can firmly remain on the right path. So now I want to consider for the rest of our time some things you can't have and have thanksgiving. So if you don't have these other things, you can't have thanksgiving. Well, here's some things that if you do have them, you can't have thanksgiving. For example, I wanted to have pizza for Thanksgiving dinner. But apparently you can't have Thanksgiving and have pizza. Those two things apparently don't go along together. But I'll be thankful for the food that I have, to be sure. But for the holiday, no, you can't have that. You have to have the the other foods. Well, in expressing thanksgiving, what are some things that you can't have and give thanks at the same time? First thing is you can't have a covetous heart. You can't be covetous. You can't desire what other people have and be thankful for what you have. You can't be thankful for God. You can't be thankful to God for the life that God gave you while coveting the things that He didn't give you. Because even if God did provide you more of the things that you want, you wouldn't be grateful for those things either, and you'd start looking for more things not to be thankful for. A covetous person can never be happy with the things that they have because they always want the things they don't have. And when they get the things that they don't have, now they have those and want something else. They'll never be thankful enough because they're always looking for something else to desire. Looking at everything else and everyone else, wishing that you had something that somebody else has that God didn't give to you. Now, covetousness is not desiring something you don't have. It's desiring something you don't have that somebody else has that you want. So, there's nothing wrong with desiring something you don't have. I desire to see sinners saved. Right? Is that wrong to have the desire to see something that's not in the present? No, of course not. A young man should desire to have a wife. There's nothing wrong to do that. But what's wrong is saying, I want that guy's wife. You know, that's what covetousness is. It's not that I want a wife, it's I want your wife. And so you can't be covetous and be thankful. So somebody's driving down the road and they have a nice car, you might say, I like that car. I wish I had that car. I wish I had their car. And then you start thinking about what they have and what you don't have. Well, that's covetousness. But if you see a car driving down the road and you think, I'd like to have a car like that. And then you start thinking, why don't I have a car like that? Well, one, I can't afford it. Well, I'd like to have a car like that. What do I need to do to get one? Well, I need to work more hours, or I need to get a different job, or I need to start saving, or I need to sell this and do all these things. And you say, well, now I'm going to apply myself to do better and to work hard and save money to get this car. And so there's nothing wrong with that kind of desire. But the covet is, I want that. And my heart is broken because I don't have somebody else's possession. It's to covet what God has blessed somebody else with and to be bitter about that God didn't give it to you. Godliness with contentment is great gain, it says in 1 Timothy 6:6. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. In Philippians chapter 4, in verse number 10, Paul talks about the life that he's had as a missionary, and Paul has some ups and downs in his life, in the things that he had. He said, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I have a speak in respect of want. We're saying, I'm not writing this because I'm trying to get you to give me something. For I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and hungry, both to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Paul said, I've learned the lesson that joy and happiness in this life doesn't amount to the things that I possess. That I can be content if I got a lot. I can be content if I don't have anything. I can be content if I'm full. I can be content if I'm hungry. I've learned both how to abound and to suffer needs. And I'm content in all things because I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Paul can be thankful in a prison cell because he has learned in all things how to praise and glorify God for what God has given him. So if you're covetous, you can't be thankful. If you're always wanting what somebody else has, then you can't be thankful for what God has already given you. Second thing you can't have and have thanksgiving is a bitter spirit. The problem our society is having right now is that we want to nurse a grievance while expressing gratitude. It's impossible to be thankful for what you have and resentful about what you don't have. For how many months have people just been resentful about what they don't have and what they want and what somebody else has and looking at somebody else's stuff and saying, well, I want what they have and how come they're not paying their fair share and how come I don't have what they have and how come I'm not getting what they got and all these things. And now we're going to stop on Thursday and say, okay, let's be thankful. And then Friday, everybody, well, how come there's nothing in stock? And how come I can't buy all these toys and all these electronics? And how come I can't get all these possessions that I want to buy because everything's out of stock? And be bitter and have a bitter spirit yet again. You can't do that. You can't have a bitter spirit and nurse a grievance and then thank God for what you have. The whole reason of this spirit of the age is not content and happy with and thankful for what we do have now. I'm thankful for what I have, but I ought to have more. I'm thankful for what I have, but if it wasn't for those, I'd have a lot more. They've taken all the pie. They're taking all the money and resources, and when they do good, that means I'm doing bad, so I don't like that. That bitterness can't let go of a perceived fault that doesn't have anything to do with us. And you know, that's the turn that this country is taking, and that's the first step. I mean, you can read the socialists and the communists and how that's the first step. You get people angry and bitter about and envious about what other people have. First, people are covetous, desiring what other people have. Then they get bitter about not having what they think they deserve. Then they stew on how that somebody's wronged them about it. Then you can't be happy with what you do have, because you're too busy chewing on the fact that somebody else has something you don't. Instead of acknowledging that God has blessed you with things you don't deserve, you acknowledge that life isn't the way that you want it. Instead of giving expression to your thankfulness, you give expression to your anger. And that bitter person is always looking at the bad. They're always seeing a fault. They're always seeing how they're not getting what they deserve. The third thing that you can't have and be thankful is envy. Envy is an emotion. It's where you fret about somebody else's prosperity or get upset that somebody else is doing better, and you hate them on that account. You get mad at somebody else's prosperity. Envy is counting someone else's blessings and getting angry as you name them one by one. That's what envy is. We are to look around and see how God has blessed us. Envy looks around and says, look how God has blessed them. That's not right. That's not fair. They don't deserve that. How much money Elon Musk has shouldn't affect if I'm thankful or not. His wealth shouldn't affect my happiness. How much money somebody else has doesn't affect my happiness or my thanksgiving. But the envious look at all the things everybody else has and gets mad about it. If I'm covetous and I think that I want some of what somebody else has because they have too much of it and they ought to share, then I'm no longer thankful. I've become envious. And I've become mad. And then now is when it gets really dangerous, is when people start saying, well, I'm going to take it back. I read where they were going to put that Amazon jobs up in New York and they fought and got rid of it, and all those people lost out on the jobs up there, And they asked one of the people, they said, what do you want in the place of it? And they said, we want a guillotine. You know, that's what they did in the French Revolution. They started chopping people's heads off. Well, that's what they want. That it wasn't their envy and their malice has gotten to such a height that now they want retribution. They want to punish people for what they have. Listen to what it says in Titus 3:3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and the love of God our Savior appeared towards men, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. You see how unthankfulness is antithetical to the gospel? Before God saves us, we were living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. But Jesus came in mercy. He was kind and Jesus was merciful and Jesus was gracious. And he saved us who were full of malice and envy and hating and hateful and hating one another and foolish and serving our own lust. And he saved us. We didn't deserve that. He was gracious. We didn't deserve that. He gave us eternal life. We didn't deserve that. And so that's why we used to be that way, because you can't live in malice and envy and hateful and be great and be full of thanksgiving towards the Lord who saved you from the fires of hell. You can't be envious and be thankful, because to be envious is to be angry at the blessings that God has given somebody else. Thanksgiving is a gratitude for the things that God has given us. And envy is the opposite of that. Without gratitude, you can't enjoy the things that you have now. So you can't enjoy what God has given you now if you're upset about what he hasn't given you. You say, but I have so little. Well, if you're not thankful, you have less. If you're not thankful, you don't even have what you do have, because you're upset about it. If you look out and say, boy, look at that big house this person has and that big farm and all those things. Look, they must be so happy. They must be enjoying life so much. Well, not if they're not thankful, because the person that lives in that house might be looking at somewhere else and say, man, I wish I had that other mansion. I wish I had that other farm. I've got a small farm compared to so-and-so, right? It doesn't matter what you have. If you're not thankful, you won't enjoy that either. So if you can't be thankful in a tiny house, you won't be thankful in a big house. If you can't be thankful with small things, you won't be thankful with a lot of things. Because it's the spirit that matters, not the quantity of what you possess. Because if you have a little, you ought to be thankful for the little that you have, and you don't have less than what you do, right? Why just have a small house? Well, are you thankful that you don't live under the bridge? Because there's people that are doing that right now. Are you thankful for the little things that you have? Well, now you can enjoy those little things. The more that you have, sometimes the more problems that you have. So sometimes your life is a whole lot easier when there's less things going on. Whenever Chris and I first got married, I didn't make a lot of money. We didn't have a lot of things, and you know, we didn't have any kids yet. And so we didn't have very much, but there wasn't a lot of stress in our life, right? There wasn't a lot of stress because there wasn't a lot of responsibility of things to take care of. But the more things that you have, the kids, and you have responsibilities and so forth, and then there's more stressors that go along with the things that you have. So if you don't have a lot, well, be thankful. Be thankful for what you do have. And see the blessings in that. The end of a thankless life is godlessness. And I'm going to read Romans 1, and this will be it. In Romans 1:18. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by that which are made, even the eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made of corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. An unthankful spirit will lead you to idolatry. Because if you don't express your thanksgiving to God, you think you deserve it, then you make yourself God. Then you start coveting things, and covetousness is idolatry. And those things that you desire, those things that you live for, are those possessions. And then you start making gods in your own image. And then you've got gods of this world and gods of animals and gods of birds and beasts and all sorts of things, as the text says there. If you don't see that's what happened there in Romans 1. First, they knew it. They saw it, but they stopped recognizing God's blessings. They stopped acknowledging God's blessings. They stopped expressing gratitudes to God's blessings. Then they stopped attributing their blessings to God. And then God gave them over to a reprobate mind, a reprobate heart. An unthankful spirit leads to idolatry. And so for you, child of God, what we must do is to express our thanks to God the Father through Jesus Christ, who gives us all things richly to enjoy. Everything that you have is a gift of God through Jesus Christ. A true Christian spirit will acknowledge that and give expression of that gratitude through prayer and the worship of Jesus Christ our Lord.